Almighty and eternal God, your Son, Jesus, triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the third chapter. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman, whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love,
and with him is plentiful redemption.
Out of the depths
I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities,
O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness,
that you may be near.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits,
and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning,
more than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love,
and with him is plentiful.
And he will redeem Israel
from all his iniquities.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
And with him is plentiful redemption.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the fourth and fifth chapters. Brothers, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him, and a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From Mark chapter 3, Jesus said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds up the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today marks a change in the church's calendar, the annual cycle of feasts and festivals and readings that we hear in the church. As you look outside, you see that the natural world is now green in leaf and blade, and the church too begins her long green season inside. You can tell that by the way the church is dressed. We're green in altar and in pulpit, and in lectern today. For the first half of the church year, we were following the life of Jesus from his birth at Christmas to his ministry at Epiphany to his sufferings in Lent, his death in Holy Week, his glorious resurrection on Easter, and then his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Now, in this green season, which will last more or less from now until Thanksgiving, we will continue to hear the words and deeds of our Lord, but with a focus on the life and growth of the church. The Holy Spirit is at work through the means of grace, through God's word and through the holy sacraments, and he is at work to create faith, to sustain faith in Jesus, and to help us grow as Christians. And now, as we begin this long green season, we're also back for our gospel readings in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is filled with action, with tension, and with drama as we follow Jesus, the Son of God. If you haven't picked up the Gospel of Mark and read it in a while, it would be a beneficial and valuable thing to do, as almost each Sunday we will walk section by section through the Gospel of Mark. Now we find in today's reading the same action, the same tension, this same drama, and a whole lot more. You heard what we read. The family of Jesus think that he is out of his mind, that he is plumb crazy. There are people today who still think that about Jesus, and especially who think that about those who follow Jesus. And then others in the reading today, we heard about the Jewish leaders, they see the miracles that Jesus has done. They see his mighty actions and his mighty works, and they accuse him of being demon-possessed. They think that he's in league with Satan. It's like they look at Jesus, but they see only the reverse image. Where they should see light, they can only see darkness. They pick up on the unclean spirits, but they miss how those spirits scurry and run and hide from Jesus. Now, Jesus compares Satan's realm to a kingdom or a house, and he describes Satan as a strong man. Not the kind of strong man you would find at a circus, but more like an authoritarian political leader, a spiritual dictatorship. Satan gains and keeps power by evil forces. He does it by wickedness, shame, and vice, by deceit and abuse, and by all kinds of things that can only be thought and done in secret. And today in our gospel reading, we see that Satan is at work. He's certainly been at work ever since the rebellion in the Garden of Eden. He enticed Adam and Eve to come into his kingdom, into his house, and they brought along all of their descendants with them. Whenever we hear about in the scriptures the work of Satan, whenever we think about the kingdom of Satan, we need to remember this, that none of us were born free or innocent. None of us were born under the power of Christ, but we were all under the power of the devil until Christ sets us free. And how does he set us free? Jesus rescues us from the power of the devil by bringing us into his own kingdom through holy baptism. He sets us free through his blood-bought forgiveness, which you have already heard this morning. We confessed our sin. We renounced our alliance with the devil, and we cling to his cross for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering and death. Your sins are forgiven. And Jesus drives off the devil and his demons through his holy, precious body and blood. What we see today is that in this world, there is not room for two rulers. There is not room for two kings. There is not room for Christ and for the devil. But one will triumph and the other will be captive. There can be only one ruler, one Lord, and one king. One of the things we also learn today is that we shouldn't be naive or ignorant about the devil and his works and his ways. He may not always be obvious in what he does. Sometimes the devil is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, but sometimes he's quietly, sneakily stalking his prey and preparing to pounce. In times in our lives that are quiet and good, when Satan isn't up in your face, he's simply waiting for you to be complacent and satisfied. He's waiting for you to put down your guard and lower your defenses. He's waiting for you to get spiritually fat, slow, and lazy so that he can take you unawares. You know how this goes. Satan looks for the layer of dust on your Bible. He listens for the static on the line between you and God. He knows when we aren't listening. He knows when we aren't praying and asking for help. He knows when we aren't paying attention. And then, of course, there are the other times, the times when he is up in your face, when he's roaring and growling, and he makes us hide and cower. And he loves that too. He loves to scare us into silence, into cowardice, so that we're afraid to let others know that we follow Jesus, so that we're afraid to let others know who we are and what we believe. And most of all, he loves when we lash back, when we fight evil with evil. He cackles when we Christians set down love and forgiveness, the tools that our Lord has given to us, and instead take up the devil's weapons and the devil's tools. Those times when we show by our words and our deeds that we don't want to be children of our Father in heaven, but that we are more at home in the kingdom of darkness. Satan is working. He's working when times are good, and he's working when times are bad. He's working in the world, and most of all, he's working on us. And why? His aim is to weaken and destroy our faith. His aim is to snatch us from the kingdom of God. His aim is to bring us out of the light and back into the darkness and to keep us in that darkness forever. But of course, Jesus has something to say about this. He's got a lot to say about this. He says it to those who oppose him. He says it to those who identify him with Satan. He says it to those who are so blinded by the light that they see only darkness. He is not demon-possessed, and he is not, and never has been, and never will be in league with the devil, and he does not fight evil with evil. He does not use the weapons of wickedness, but the weapons of righteousness, and he hasn't come to destroy you, but he has come to rescue you and to save you. He has come to bind Satan and to plunder him. He has come to take back what the devil stole, to take back the people that he stole, and the life that he stole, and the Eden that he stole. Jesus said, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end." And then he finishes with these words that I find so beautiful and lovely. "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he may plunder his house." Jesus, with these words, is describing himself. Yes, Satan may be a strong man, but if you see Satan's house being plundered, if you see the goods that Satan has stolen being rescued, if you see the souls that Satan would hold captive being set free, then you know that a stronger man has come. And indeed, a stronger one has come in Jesus Christ, in his ministry, and in his ongoing work in the church. It's no wonder that people were disturbed when they saw and heard what Jesus was doing, because it looked like a revolution, a spiritual revolution. In the person of Jesus Christ, God had entered the strong man's house and was tying him up and plundering his goods, just as God had promised. You heard about how God came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, how he walked in the garden in the cool of the day to find them even after they sinned, how he confronted them with their sin. And what did Adam and Eve do? In their fear, they hid. In their fear, they used evil to fight evil, and they lashed out at others. But God set them free by giving them a promise, this beautiful promise. Whenever I hear these words from Genesis 3, verse 15, spoken to the devil, I always picture Adam and Eve like two flies on the wall. This conversation is between God and the devil, but they get to listen in. They get to overhear it, and these words are meant for them. God said to the devil, "I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God promises the devil that he will not have a field day with this world, that he will not have an easy go of it as he tries to destroy God's kingdom, but that instead God has set up in opposition to him a promise, a seed, a Savior who will come. And this enmity, this hatred, this tension between God and the devil and between God's seed and the devil's seed will continue and go on, and it reaches its climax in the life and ministry of Christ. Reaches its climax on the cross. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The devil's head is bruised when the cross is placed into the ground and Jesus hangs on it. It's striking that the place where Christ was crucified is known as the place of the skull. It may have even looked like a skull, this rocky outcropping, and so the cross is placed right on top of a head, the head of Satan. And Satan bruises his heel as the nail, the spike, is driven through. And Christ hangs on the cross, and he suffers and dies, but it is only a bruise to our Lord's heel, because he does not remain dead. On the third day, he rises again. Our Lord Jesus Christ came by his suffering, death, and resurrection, by his bearing our sins, by his dying our death, by his descending into hell. He has triumphed over the devil, and he came out victorious over the devil and all his works and all his ways. He has shown that the devil's power is limited, that Satan cannot stand, that his kingdom is coming to an end, and that his house is being plundered. Now I know when I say these things that we can look around in the world and we can look even in our own lives, and sometimes we're tempted to say, but the devil sure doesn't seem to be bound. And Christ sure doesn't look victorious, but he is. This is the promise that we have. Indeed, St. Paul tells us in that second reading that we heard today, tells us not to lose heart, because even though it looks like the devil is triumphing, and even though it looks like evil is on the march, he says that God is doing something different. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We look to the things not that are seen, but that are unseen. Our Lord's victory over the devil is not one that is obvious when we look at the world, but it is obvious when we hear the word. It is obvious and clear to us that Christ has won when we hear what Christ accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection, and when we hear what Christ is doing still in his church today. The weapons that our Lord uses do not look like they are dangerous, but they are so powerful against the devil. The weapons that our Lord uses to set us free are the forgiveness of sins. A simple word, I forgive you all your sins, and all of your sins are truly forgiven in Christ. The devil cannot use your sins against you. He cannot hold them over your head. He cannot batter you with them because they've been crucified with Christ. And when the devil would scare you with death, our Lord, risen from the dead, comes and says, I am the first fruits, and you too will rise from the dead, and you will live with me forever. And he promises that hell cannot hold you or keep you or even have you, because he descended into hell to show the devil that he was not the winner, but that he had lost. So our Lord gives life through his death. He gives forgiveness through his sacrifice. He gives victory through his descent into hell. And he shows that Satan has not won, but has lost eternally. And he sets us free. He binds Satan, and he unbinds you and me, so that we are free in Christ. We are free to live as his and in his kingdom. And we are free to live as those who know that we have a future. And the future is not simply in this fallen world, but it is in the life of the world to come, in the new heavens and the new earth. The reason we gather here today is that we might have that freedom again, that we might hear these freeing words again, that we might have the body and blood of our Lord placed into our mouths again. For in all these ways, Christ comes, and he binds the devil, and he plunders his house, and he delivers us from darkness into light. These are the means that the Holy Spirit uses to create and sustain our faith, to set us free from the devil, to arm us against his temptations, to give the promises that will last forever. This is why our Lord gives the warning that we are not to neglect the means of grace that the Holy Spirit uses. We are not to neglect God's word or the Holy Communion, but we are to desire and to receive and to cherish these gifts, because these are the means that God uses, the Holy Spirit uses, to deliver that freedom, that forgiveness, that life and salvation to us. And this is the freedom that we celebrate today in Christ, and the freedom that we will celebrate all throughout this long summer. The joyous freedom that we have in Christ, who sets us free to live and to grow forever and ever. May God grant this to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Continue with the prayers. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving for the promised seed, Jesus Christ, who by his death has crushed Satan's head forever, that as God promised deliverance from sin and its curse to Adam and Eve, and received their pitiful confessions for the sake of his grace, so he would show us the comfort of sins forgiven and lead us in constant hope of his new creation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For courage that as we believe, so we also would speak of the confidence of Christ's resurrection, that we would be emboldened to confess this Christian faith from a lively conscience, and that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people. For the glory of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who feel the sword of division brought about by the confession of Christ's truth, especially within their own families, that as Christ also was rejected on earth by friends and relatives, they would be assured that standing firm on the truth and being guarded from seeking a false or easier peace, and be turned in every earthly disappointment toward God's eternal and undivided church triumphant. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Patrick and Laura Jackson, William, Henry, and Samuel, that the Holy Spirit would open their hearts and minds to hear and learn your holy word, keeping them safe as they move, that they would find warm welcome into the seminary community and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation with its government, that as no kingdom or house divided can ever stand, God would frustrate the destructive work of Satan, unite our leaders and our people for the common good, and lead us to place our true hope in his eternal kingdom, which is not of this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer in this earthly tent, especially Karen Hamill and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, M.J. Oates, Marilyn Arsenault, Sandra Meyer, Phyllis Moss, Lucy Naylor, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Alice Salcedo, David Salcedo, Rick and Patty Silvestro, Ron Smith, Michelle Studlian, and Stan Thompson, that fixing their eyes beyond the transient to things unseen, they would not lose heart, and that God, in his eternal wisdom, would prepare them through this slight momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last we are raised with Christ and brought into his presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that as Satan once overcame our first parents by giving them the fruit of the tree to eat, so Christ would overcome the devil among us here by the fruit of his cross, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of your Son, crucified and raised again. In him we are restored as your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for his sake and in his name, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
We thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
The Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.